listeners, welcome to a captivating new episode of the CIO Today podcast, your gateway to the world of visionary leadership. I'm Stella, your host, and today we have the privilege of introducing you to an extraordinary luminary, Robert Olzak, a true maestro in the realm of supply chain management. With a strategic vision that ignites innovation and an unwavering commitment that helps organizations to new heights of operational excellence and profitability, Robert is a trailblazer like no other. So, brace yourselves for an enlightening journey as we warmly welcome Robert Olzak to the CIO Today podcast.
Hi, Robert. How are you doing? Thank you for your time and being a part of this episode with me today.
Nice to meet you as well, Stella, and thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience.
That's lovely. So, as the Vice President of Global Supply Chain Optimization, you have truly redefined the boundaries of your field by, you know, consistently seeking innovative solutions for your complex challenges. So, without any further ado, let's get started with some questions so that our audiences can discover more about you.
Sure. I look forward to it.
Okay, sure. So your journey from humble beginnings to becoming a globally recognized leader in the supply chain management is truly inspiring. So could you provide us with some insights into your career background?
Yeah, most definitely. I would say, you know, if I'm going to be completely candid and honest with you and the audience, this is not what I set out to do. When I initially went into pursuing a college degree, I initially wanted to be a lawyer, or so I thought, and then I just didn't really have the passion for law. And you know, in the infancy of my career, I started off with UPS here in the U.S. and then that what I liked about working there was that having a sports background and being a competitive person, you knew every day if you won or lost. Everything was measured. You could tell if you were successful. And so that really opened my eyes to, you know, this particular industry in terms of supply chain. And so then from there, I progressed into working with FedEx in a number of various roles, and then moved on to, you know, a number of different positions, including chief operating officer of a private equity firm that owned three logistics companies. And I would say that, you know, I think everybody starts from humble beginnings, and maybe not all of us start out knowing exactly what we want to do, but this industry has been particularly good to me. And what's kept me passionate about what I do is really three things. Number one, it's an industry that is constantly evolving and changing. So there's always new challenges that present themselves. Number two, I've had the privilege of working with a lot of great mentors in the course of my career that have helped me to get to where I am today, and who were gracious enough to invest in me both professionally and personally to help not only develop my leadership competencies, but really understand various aspects of the business, you know, from the operational day-to-day transactional activities to the engineering side of the business, and then more importantly, the financial components and understanding, you know, the totality of what it means to run an organization, especially an organization that is largely, you know, focused on supply chain. And then the other is just the people. You know, what I most enjoy about what I do today and where I've gotten is the clients that I get to work with, the people that I meet. And it's humbling because when you work on a global scale and you're working with C-suites spanning a number of different companies and organizations of varying sizes, and having the opportunity to, you know, for the last decade I've been doing consulting, and having the opportunity to provide consulting services and solutions to those clients, you know, I've been in the room with people that are very intelligent. I've been candid with others to say, you know, there's times where I almost suffer from imposter syndrome, but, you know, I'm constantly learning from other people, not only in consulting, in the consulting industry, but from our clients as well. And all of that just creates, you know, a sense of breadth and depth to my ability to perform in this role, but, you know, have a positive influence and contribute to others that we work with on a daily basis.
Really amazing to hear, because, you know, people who are established in this field usually don't really say that, you know, you learn from the beginning, from bottom up. So it was really nice to hear that. Seems like it indeed has been a worthwhile journey for you.
Yes, it has. And I'm an avid academic. I read a lot. And, you know, I think one of the things that's fundamental in my career journey in professional development is the constant learning. And I, you know, as I talk to others, and, you know, I've had the fortunate opportunity to, you know, even talk to kids that are pursuing their master's degree in supply chain, for example, is, you know, just reiterating that the importance of continuing education. It's not just academics, it's the practical hands-on knowledge and experience that you can gain through the job that you're doing. And, you know, I would like to believe that all of us are driven and competitive and have aspirations for advancing our careers and having upward mobility within organizations. And I certainly did when I started out, but to turn that into something that's tangible and bring that to fruition, you have to continually invest in yourself, and you have to be humble enough to learn from others in the process.
So true. Yeah, very true. So, I just wanted to ask, so how do you foster a culture of continuous improvement within your teams? And when we are talking about teams, how has it contributed to your success in return?
That's a great question. And I would say both personally and professionally, from the number of clients that I've worked with in, you know, the last, you know, 30 years, continuous improvement is always something that is talked about almost on a daily basis. You know, I'd go on record as saying most organizations struggle to link vision and strategy in the larger corporate culture of continuous improvement to, you know, tangible, executable activities and initiatives. And part of that is because in the world we live in, especially with information overload and so many competing priorities, I think it becomes easy to get distracted or lose sight of the bigger picture. And so as I think about this question, and I take it to what we do here in our organization and how I've led teams throughout the course of my career, continuous improvement is not just a one and done activity. Continuous improvement is a philosophy. It's a way of doing business. I think it is largely predicated on the leadership style and influence. And I would say that how I've been able to foster that culture is getting people to, number one, believe in themselves and believe that they have, that they're empowered and they have the power without necessarily holding a leadership title to influence change and improvement. I'm a firm believer that sometimes the people with the best ideas and the best solutions and the best opportunities for improvement within any organization or business are those that are on the front lines doing the work every day. The second thing I would add is that I've learned over the course of my career that not to be the smartest person in the room. Surround yourself with people who are smarter, more innovative, more creative, in some cases more passionate about certain aspects of the business, because they're going to help build that culture. They're going to help garner the buy-in and the interest of others and influence others within your business unit, within your team, within the organization, or the enterprise as a whole. And then I would say lastly is really listening. Anybody that knows me and anybody that's worked with me will know that, number one, by nature, I'm an introvert, but I tend to listen a lot more than I speak, because if you're monopolizing the conversation or you're trying to be the single catalyst for continuous improvement and you're not taking the time to step back and listen and appreciate the opinions and inputs of others, you're most likely going to miss something that's profoundly important or absolutely critical to establishing that culture of continuous improvement. And then the last thing I would add is, as I mentioned before, it's being that it's a philosophy, it's a way of doing business, it's a cultural value, it's something that has to be lived and breathed every day, even in the most simplest of activities.
Yeah, the way you see people and think from their perspective, you know, it's really impressive. So since your leadership is known for balancing short-term goals with long-term vision, how do you achieve this equilibrium in supply chain optimization, that the work that you do?
So I'll answer that in two ways. Number one, I'll answer it from my internal team perspective. And then secondly, I'll answer it from, you know, how we lead and influence with our clients. So first, the short, you know, I think that's a struggle for every leader. And I am privileged enough to have enough conversations with CEOs and CFOs and other executive leaders of large organizations on a fairly consistent basis. And these are topics of conversation that we often have is, you know, how do you translate strategy into something that is attainable, something that is a living, breathing organism within the business, especially within supply chain and all the complexities that supply chains are currently, you know, undertaking and on a global scale. So the short-term goals have to match the strategy and the vision, number one. And I think a lot of times where the disconnect comes is in how that's communicated. Are we communicating and are we being transparent in our communication with our teams to help them fully understand why the strategy is important? And secondly, how to achieve the strategy, and linking that how, or answering the how, in terms of what specific actions and what are the focus items and prioritization of activities that need to be taken in achieving the short-term goals, because the short-term goals should match the longer-term strategy. The other common mistake that I see, and again, this happens across a number of different businesses, is we try to measure too many things. And I think that somehow dilutes our ability to stay focused on the strategy and vision, and more importantly, drive short-term improvement and goal attainment. So I always am very cautious of what we're measuring, how much we're measuring. More importantly, when working with clients, you know, communicating that kind of same message is, are you measuring the right things that are going to move the needle and get you to the longer term vision or that ultimate end state? The other component that I see a lot of times with clients and from a leadership perspective is, and not to be overly critical, is a lack of patience. Sometimes realizing your longer term vision and sometimes understanding the journey to get there, especially within supply chain optimization, because there's so many links and so many interdependencies within supply chain, both from what you do internally in terms of how you, the end-to-end supply chain from the minute an order is placed all the way to final mile delivery, how we interact with our clients, the changing consumer behavior patterns, customer demand, and then, you know, just the balancing of priorities internally within an organization, and then how you deal with your suppliers, your manufacturers, and, you know, even your customer base. So there's all of these competing priorities. You have to be able to kind of filter those, especially when you're leading a team, to keep them focused on the things that are most important. And so finding that equilibrium is a constant battle. But I firmly believe that where we sometimes miss the boat is that we lack the patience to really allow the journey to play out. We sometimes will forsake the longer term vision in that ultimate optimal end state for immediate near-term wins because we're pressured, right? We're pressured from customers to improve service. We're pressured from stakeholders, investors to be profitable. And that sometimes can take our eye off the ball.
Yeah, so communication is truly the key. And your words just made me realize again how much hard work and planning actually takes in this field of career that you have. So could you share a challenging supply chain problem that you might have tackled in the past with innovation, and how it changed the game in that scenario for you and your team?
Again, another great question. And it's actually a question that has been posed to me before. And so as I think through this from a more practical perspective in terms of recent experiences, and, you know, this is not just a byproduct of the pandemic, although, you know, statistically, data has shown that there was, you know, multi-billion dollar investment in merger and acquisitions, in divestitures and things of that nature coming out of the pandemic. But one of the most complex challenges that I see within supply chain today and areas where we particularly help our clients is in M&A or divestitures, I'll say. And the reason that creates complexity is because as companies are acquiring new business segments or new operating entities, you will create disparaging, you'll find yourself in situations where you're dealing with disparaging technologies and systems. You'll have duplicity within your supply chain. For example, I was talking to a client not too long ago where they had acquired another regional business, and literally they were having their trucks go down the same road and making deliveries on opposite sides of the street. So, you know, that was a significant challenge for them because it was, you know, creating additional freight costs and transportation and logistics costs. So how do they create synergies? Yeah. How do you merge parallel supply chains or logistics operations or distribution networks and create a more unified and more efficient supply chain? And that always brings a level of complexity. Both from the, you know, from a people, process, and technology standpoint, none of which can be solved overnight. The other area where I've seen a significant demand, both in the market and from our clients, and where I really believe that innovation is key, especially when it comes to prescriptive analytics tools and scenario modeling tools, what if analysis, is helping clients better understand how to optimize, or and I say optimize loosely, but really how do you achieve the optimal supply chain network? And that's looking at it holistically, inclusive of your procurement operations, how you source materials, supplier relationships, supplier risk management, and then the physical, you know, kind of downstream supply chain transactional activities and functions when it comes to manufacturing, distribution, logistics, final mile delivery, and bringing all of that into a cohesive package where you can work with a client, run these scenarios, run these modeling tools, and then help them identify where they can find both operational efficiencies and significant cost savings to the bottom line. And, you know, we've been fortunate where, you know, just sharing in full transparency some actual practical, you know, real life case scenarios where in two different instances, you know, we were able to identify $22 million in cost savings or operating expense with one client, and with another client about $15.3 million in cost savings direct to the bottom line, simply by, you know, consolidating some distribution facilities, re-engineering their logistics network, renegotiating some supplier contracts. So those are the types of things that, number one, I get very passionate about, members on my team get very passionate about. And those particular types of projects, as challenging as they can be and as complex as they can be, one of the reasons that I like them, one of the reasons that they're appealing to our clients, is because at the end of it, there is a return on investment. There's a net gain to the bottom line. Both not only in terms of profitability, but in overall operational efficiency.
True, like, you know, tackling these challenges with methods that stem from patience and smart planning and understanding your team, most importantly. I think these are truly, you know, a trait of a good leader. So this brings me to the next question, while we are on this topic of, you know, handling the challenges. So what emerging technologies do you think will continue to shape the future of supply chains? And how do you think, in your opinion, professionals should prepare themselves for it?
So I think it goes without saying, technology is going to continue to drive pretty much everything we do, not just in supply chain, but the way we do business. And we're already seeing signs of that. And we've been seeing signs of that for decades. One of the most popular things right now, obviously, is, you know, ChatGPT, AI, those type of technology advancements and technology enabling tools. And where that's going to lead is still yet to be determined. What the true impact is going to be, I think it's still a little early to speculate on, you know, how robust or how dynamic that's going to be in terms of a game changer, especially within supply chain. I think there will be value contributions in certain industry verticals, more in some more than others. I would be the first to say that regardless of any technology advancements or, you know, innovative solutions that are coming to the table, you know, one of the things I've always appreciated about supply chain is that it's still going to require people. I had a mentor early on, and I think that's one of the things that's continued to draw me to this industry is that, and this was, I'm dating myself now, but this was, you know, 25 years ago and long before a lot of the technology advancements that we have today. But they said that, you know, you're always going to need people to move product from point A to point B. You know, I know within logistics, there's a lot of talk about automated vehicles or self-driving vehicles. I know that right now in the marketplace, there's a lot of emphasis on ERP, movement to the cloud, leveraging technologies like SAP, for example. Blockchain has been really prominent in supply chain in terms of helping to track materials, give greater visibility to product movement, chain of custody, verifying that, you know, what companies are saying is true, you know, that if they're sourcing materials from certain parts of the world, that is in fact true, and they can be held accountable to that. So I think technology is always going to drive supply chain and continue to drive it more and more as we move forward. And one of the things that, from a conversation I was having with a colleague, one of the interesting statistics is, you know, with the volatility of our current economic environment, one of the areas that CFOs primarily are continuing to invest in is in technology. Because I think, and again, some will say this is part of the overall supply chain disruption and all the visibility that received during the pandemic and the COVID crisis. But, you know, I think it's just the evolution of how we do business today. And the fact that it's becoming less personal and, you know, and it's very easy, take Amazon, for example, very easy to go on, order anything you want with a click of a button. And we see that with a number of our clients and trying to take advantage of omni-channel distribution, take advantage of e-commerce platforms. But I would say that the technology is only as good as the processes. And in my experience thus far, there's no emerging technology that's a magic bullet that's gonna either simplify or significantly change a supply chain without the influence of people and processes. And where technologies often fail is that's missed, is we don't take into account the change adoption. We don't take into account the learning curve. One of the things that I think is important to note on this topic is, you know, the changing workforce. We have baby boomers that are getting ready for retirement. So we have a portion of our, you know, population that is retiring out of the workforce, and we have new generation of workers entering the workforce, all of which is going to influence in one form or fashion how technology is applied and used, not only in supply chain, but in other aspects of the business. So I think technology is going to continue to influence how we function as a supply chain, how supply chains become more integrated on a global scale. And what comes out of that is going to be very interesting. And I think it's going to be important to stay close to watching that unfold.
Oh, exactly. I really liked the fact that despite the fact that we are talking about technology and how it will turn out in the future, I really liked how you still put a lot of emphasis in the people that we have in the process. So that's something really genuine of you. So this brings me to my next question that I'm sure our audience will be anticipating dearly. So Robert, looking ahead, what excites you the most about the future of supply chain management? And what advice would you like to give to your, you know, young professionals aspiring to make their mark in this field?
Excellent question. So, and it actually dovetails really nicely with the question that preceded this. For me, what excites me about the future of supply chain, I think, is the influence in the technology component. It's going to continue to influence the way we manage and lead, the way we interact with our customers, the way we interact with our suppliers, and as I said before, the way we do business. If I had to give advice to the next generation of professionals aspiring to pursue a career in supply chain, I would encourage them to really become much more technology savvy than maybe preceding generations. There's very few aspects of supply chain that exist today that does not have a technology component to it. And although we want to become more reliant on technology to help us make more informed decisions, to better manage in real time our supply chain networks, as I mentioned before, to use prescriptive analytics tools to help forecast and help be more responsive and create supply chain resilience or more agile supply chains and be, you know, a little bit more proactive in terms of planning for the next major disruption or global crisis, you know, it still requires people. And I would also, the advice I would give is, this is a long-term investment, and I will be the first to say that I've met a lot of very intelligent people that have not been successful in supply chain. Supply chain is not for everybody, and I firmly believe that to be a true leader in the future, to be successful in this career, you have to be willing to roll up your sleeves to make an investment, not only from an academic standpoint in terms of understanding the business, understanding supply chain and gaining that level of knowledge, but really learning from the ground up. And most of the people that I work with on a consistent basis have grown up in supply chain over the last 30 or 40 years. And that gives us a unique ability to not only learn from the past, but really anticipate and have an influence over the future, because we understand all of the intricacies and nuances of supply chain operations, and not just from an academic standpoint, because we've lived it, breathed it, given our blood, sweat, and tears to it, if you will, over the last 30 or 40 years. And so anybody looking to come into this should come into it with an open mind, wanting to learn as much as they can, be willing to fail, and know that failure is part of the journey. And I encourage, just as I do with my own kids, as much as I don't like to fail, and as competitive as I am as a leader and as an individual, failure is part of it. And there's sometimes more to be learned from failure than there is from success. So my advice, again, would be, I think supply chain management is going to be ripe for the next generation, both from a leadership perspective and across all functions of supply chain, especially those that have the ability to really embrace technology and understand how to maximize the benefits of what technology enabling tools can provide to advance the supply chain industry moving forward. And then lastly, as I had said before, become a student of the profession, take time to learn, make the investment both personally and professionally so that you can provide value and influence in a positive way to others.
True. I think this experience really speaks for itself, because the way you see failure in a really healthy way is truly inspirational. So thank you so much for taking us on this tour of your professional life and your beautiful insights. It's been a delightful experience talking with you today, Robert.
Likewise, Stella, and I appreciate you making time and allowing me to share my views and perspectives and for posing some really poignant questions. And I hope the audience will walk away having learned something as well. So thank you.
Oh, I really, really think so. So, all right, Robert, have a great day ahead. So, yeah.
All right. Likewise, YouTube. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And so, dear listeners, we bring another amazing chapter of the CIO Today podcast to a graceful conclusion, leaving us with a tapestry of wisdom and boundless inspiration. Our heartfelt gratitude goes to Robert for generously sharing his profound insights, demonstrating how his passion for progress fuels his teams to venture beyond the ordinary and seize opportunities for success. Remember to subscribe and kindly share the CIO Today podcast with fellow trailblazers and visionaries eager to reshape their ideas with innovation and determination.